Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Some of you may remember me as the editor of Bread, the former Irish Christian magazine, which ceased publication in 1996. Since then, my wife and I have been involved in the greater Belfast area of Northern Ireland in building up and pastoring a cell-based Christian fellowship, still under the heading of Kingdom Come Trust. We spent that time working with some very broken people, coming from every kind of difficult background, and have seen quite a number of people make that initial commitment to the Lord and then grow steadily in knowledge of Him. We have seen the Lord demonstrate His power in transforming lives, healing bodies, in one instance even replacing tissue which was no longer there, delivering from long-established habits and addictions, and also in miraculous provision. We have also experienced considerable opposition from the enemy, disappointments, heartbreak, and even the deaths of some of our members. I have had the unfortunate duty of speaking at a couple of funerals under pretty tragic circumstances. We have been involved in organising and leading a number of weekend retreats, as well as leading worship in our own fellowship and at other interchurch events. For the past year or so, the Lord has been focusing us again on writing, music and media, and in travelling and ministering to a wider spectrum of God's kingdom. So, welcome to our series of talks on Your Kingdom Come. September the 11th occurred just a week after we had begun on a new spiritual venture. We had just separated from our parent church, which was part of the CFC Lifelink network here in Ireland, and were beginning to make our way tentatively as a new fellowship, not quite sure how things would work out, when the events of September the 11th occurred. I can still remember exactly what I was doing when I heard the news. Following those tragic events of 9/11, many people in our new fellowship were understandably fearful, confused, and eager to learn just what the Bible has to say about these things. And so we first prepared this series of talks. A few years on, and the situation in the world has not improved. In fact, maybe we are more inclined to be fearful and confused. Many nations have been involved in the continuing conflict in Iraq. Terrorism is continuing, and the Asian tsunami has taken over 250,000 lives in dozens of countries around the world. In these uncertain times, we certainly need to have a clear biblical understanding of what the future holds and where the Lord has placed us in the coming sequence of events. In this series, I want to make sure that my conclusions are based solidly on the Bible. There has been a lot of discussion about the coming of God's kingdom. People hold many different opinions, and there has been a lot of controversy and disagreement, particularly about some of the details. I am not going to totally avoid that, but I will attempt to steer clear of speculation. Things have quite often been taught as fact that are really just speculation. Now, there's nothing wrong with speculating as long as we don't start to become dogmatic about it and build it up into a doctrine. A lot of books have been written about this subject, and several films have been produced. As a young Christian, I read one book about the Second Coming and thought I'd got it all quite clear, until I read another book that seemed to totally contradict the first. Both seemed to be based on Scripture, but I eventually began to realise that not all of the conclusions were based on what the Scripture actually taught. And so I set aside all the dogmatic theories and began to study just exactly what the Bible itself said, and slowly I began to build up a picture of what the Scripture teaches on this subject. Some things are clearly stated in Scripture, and these we can stand firm on. Some of the details are less clear, and it would just be silly to be dogmatic about those things, at least until God makes things clearer, through time and the unfolding of events. We can make guesses as to how some things will take place, but if it's not based on what is written clearly in Scripture, then it's a case of time will tell. We live in very eventful times. In this past century, we have had two world wars, the fall of communism, the rise of international terrorism, great advances in technology and communications. These are also very fearful times. The global climate is rapidly changing, and we now have the ability to completely destroy this planet that we live on. After 9/11 and the Asian tsunami in 2004, we really don't know what to expect next. The world has a right to be fearful. But Jesus told us not to fear, even when we see these terrible things coming to pass. The only way for us not to be fearful is to have a real understanding of what the Lord is up to. Then when we see things happening around the world, we can take hope that God is not shaken, that He has everything under control. I want to divide our study into two main themes. The first is probably obvious, the coming kingdom. How the future kingdom will come about. In other words, the actual events surrounding the Lord's return, what the scripture teaches about the coming of the kingdom, and how all these events that the Bible prophesies will come to pass. We want to emphasize the things that are clear and definite in scripture and minimize any conjecture that is not based on what the Bible actually says. The second theme may not be so obvious, but the whole thrust of the New Testament teaching on the second coming was to encourage the believers to live their lives as individuals and as a Christian community in a certain way. We want to look at the challenges of this way of life in the light of what we learn about the coming of the kingdom. So in the second part, we will look at the challenge of the bride, pure and spotless. For today, let's examine the good news of the kingdom. The whole purpose of this teaching is to encourage you and also to inform you. Jesus said that he wants us to be alert. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household, to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. That's in Matthew 24. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4 that he did not want us to be uninformed concerning Jesus' coming. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Here Paul deals with a particular detail of the Lord's coming. He doesn't want the disciples to be ignorant and so to grieve without hope. I don't want you to be uninformed either. I want you to have hope based on a real understanding of God's plan. In what we call the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God, then, is where God's will be done on earth, just like it is already being done in heaven. There will come a day when the kingdom of God will rule over the whole earth, when the will of God will be done throughout the whole earth. And Jesus teaches us to pray consistently for that to come into being. But in Luke 17, Jesus also taught that his kingdom is among us. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you or among you." Jesus taught us to look forward to the coming of his kingdom. But in the meantime, that kingdom already exists. Speaking to those skeptical Pharisees, Jesus said that the kingdom was among them. How was it among them? In the presence of Jesus and his disciples in their midst. The kingdom had already begun, but only those who sincerely wanted to obey Jesus' will and become his followers, his disciples, were a part of that kingdom. His kingdom already exists where his will is being done on earth, as it is in heaven. Jesus' message was all about the kingdom. After his temptation in the desert, Jesus returned to Galilee and went to Capernaum. And Matthew 4 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" The kingdom of heaven is near, and we can enter it through repentance. And in Luke 4 he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." The good news that Jesus preached was the good news of the kingdom of God. This opportunity to be part of the kingdom had not been available before this, before Jesus began his ministry, but now it was available to everyone. In Luke 16 he says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it." Many of Jesus' parables were taught so as to illustrate different aspects of the kingdom of God. In Mark 4 we read that Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground." The parable of the sower. Further down, in verse 30, we read, "Again he said, 'What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade.'" Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. His whole message was about the kingdom. The gospel, the good news that he preached, was the good news of the kingdom of God. He sent his 12 disciples out to preach the exact same message. In Luke 9, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." The Apostle Paul, who called himself the Apostle to the Gentiles, preached exactly the same message to the Gentiles as Jesus and the 12 had preached in Israel. In Acts 20, he bids farewell to the leaders of the church in Ephesus with these words, "Now I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom, will ever see me again." And at the end of his ministry at Rome, in Acts 28, we read, "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." So Jesus' whole message was about the kingdom of God. And not only Jesus, but the 12 apostles and Paul also preached the same message, the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was completely central to the whole teaching of the New Testament. What is this kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is that gathering of people over whom the King of heaven rules. That is the kingdom. Let me say that again. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, consists of all those over whom the King of heaven rules. That is the kingdom. At present, this kingdom has not actually come into power. It is among us and has a prophetic role in the world. If we look back through history, we can see quite clearly that when the church has been completely separate from the state, for example in the early days of the New Testament church, or under present-day persecution in Egypt or in communist China and Russia, it flourishes. But when the church has been closely tied to the ruling power of the state, where it dominates, for example in medieval times, or in many parts of the world in recent history, the result has been a distortion of the gospel and many evil things being done in the name of Christ. We can think of the Spanish Inquisition, the genocide of Native Americans in North and South America, pogroms against the Jews in Russia and Poland, the treatment of black South Africans under apartheid, Why do these evil things take place? Well, you see, the church was never meant to implement the kingdom of God in a political sense, not before the king himself has come back to rule. The most obvious example was what happened in Nazi Germany, where Hitler attempted to put in place a thousand-year Reich, man's version of the kingdom. The church failed in its prophetic role, remaining all but silent, and the Holocaust of millions of Jews, Poles, Gypsies and others was allowed to take place. Only when Jesus himself returns to this earth will we reign with him as kings and priests. Any attempt to implement the kingdom without the physical presence of the king is doomed to failure. But until then, we are meant to be a prophetic voice, and we can hasten that coming of the kingdom. Oh yes, we can have an impact on the coming of the kingdom of God. Did you realize that? We can hinder his kingdom, or we can hasten it. I said that we can hasten the coming of God's kingdom. We have a part to play. Let's look at 2 Peter 3, where Peter says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." In the New Living Translation, verse 12 reads, "You should look forward to that day and hurry it along." So we do have a part to play in hurrying along the kingdom of God. Because we believe that all these amazing events surrounding Jesus' return will come to pass, we should live our lives in a way that is pleasing to him, and so hasten that day along. The Lord is not slow about bringing in his kingdom. It is we, his people, who can either hinder or hasten his plans. He does not want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. That is an awesome responsibility. We have the power to be obedient servants and reach out to this world we live in, to be witnesses to those around us, and so hasten the coming of the kingdom. Or we can be complacent and self-centered, and so hinder the coming of the kingdom. So, let's sum up what we've been saying. Firstly, Jesus himself taught us to be alert and looking for his coming. Paul also taught that God wants us to be informed and so encouraged, not to be ignorant, but to have a clear vision of how his kingdom will come. Second, Jesus talked continually about his kingdom. This was his good news. His whole message concerned the good news of the kingdom of God. He was excited about it. He told parables about it. And he sent the 12 and the apostle Paul to carry on that exact same emphasis on the kingdom of God. We define this kingdom of God as being all those over whom the King of Heaven rules. We are to pray for his kingdom to come and work towards that day when his will is done on earth. The kingdom is among us at the moment, but we are not meant to dominate society in any political sense. Only when Jesus returns will the kingdom of God take authority over the earth, politically and economically. Till then, we do have an important role as prophetic witnesses. Finally, we can hasten the kingdom of God. We have a responsibility to be obedient servants, alert to our Master's will, not self-centered and complacent, and hindering the coming of the kingdom. Thank you for listening.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes, and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT23 7TZ.